Dozens of protesters marched at UW Oshkosh yesterday. They were against a plan to cut roughly 200 positions in response to an $18 million deficit at the university. It's Wednesday, October 4th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Robert DeAndrea has an important story about how a bipartisan bill in the state legislature would make it illegal to artificially generate sexually explicit images without the subject's consent. And how about this? Above normal temperatures in recent weeks have actually slowed down the harvest of Wisconsin's potato crop. Hope Kerwin will tell us why. Stay with us.
Agriculture, healthcare, education, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
There were dozens of protesters at UW Oshkosh yesterday against a plan to cut roughly 200 positions. That's in response to an $18 million deficit. As Joe Schultz reports, they also called on state lawmakers to restore funding.
UW Oshkosh students, staff, and faculty are protesting a plan to cut staff and require all employees to take unpaid days off. Oshkosh is one of 10 UW campuses that began the year with a structural deficit. Jeff Pickron has been a lecturer at UW Oshkosh for 20 years. Now, he expects to be out of a job after this year.
It feels like an enormous slap in the face. And it's going back on a commitment that was made to my wife and I when we came here, that my job would be secure.
In the most recent state budget, the legislature cut UW funding by $32 million over diversity efforts. Protesters say that's unacceptable. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A judge in Waukesha County has blocked a school district's policy allowing students to change their name and gender pronouns. Going forward, Kettle Moraine School District may not have staff refer to students using a name or pronouns at odds with a student's biological sex without the consent of a parent. The decision comes after parents filed a lawsuit in 2021 alleging that district officials improperly used a male name and male pronouns to address their 12-year-old daughter without their consent. Two conservative law firms filed the lawsuit on the parents' behalf. Kettle Moraine district officials did not immediately respond to requests for comment. The school board is set to hold a meeting to discuss the decision. A bipartisan bill in the state legislature would make it illegal to artificially generate sexually explicit images without the subject's consent. Robert DeAndrea reports the proposal would make it a felony to create or share deepfake images to harass and intimidate someone online.
Current state law prohibits creating or publishing nude images of someone without their consent. This bill would broaden the law to include digitally altered images known as deepfakes. The legislation specifies they must be made with the intent to coerce, harass, or intimidate the person depicted. Alan Rosenstein is a law professor at the University of Minnesota. He says it's important for lawmakers to distinguish between protected speech and non-consensual pornography.
Because these things cause immense harm to victims, and I think it's also really good that they're recognizing the First Amendment issues of poorly or sloppily or broadly written laws and are being really proactive in trying to head those off.
A similar bill introduced last year did not receive a committee hearing. Robert DeAndrea, Wisconsin Public Radio.
There's a new Democrat in the race for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Longtime Assembly Representative Katrina Shankland of Stevens Point became the 4th candidate seeking to challenge freshman Republican Derek Van Orden. The district includes western and southwestern Wisconsin. And how about this? Before Van Orden was narrowly elected in 2022, it had been held by Democrat Ron Kind for nearly 25 years. It's also expected to be the state's most competitive district in 2024. Shankland said she's passed bipartisan legislation in Wisconsin in every session since she was first elected to the state legislature in 2012.
I am running for Congress because we need less extremism and more common sense in Washington.
In a statement, a Republican spokesperson predicted the Democratic primary would be, quote, a chaotic race to the left. The partisan primary is in August. Recent hot weather has slowed down Wisconsin's potato harvest this fall. Hope Kerwin has more on how the heat can affect the popular crop.
Around 70% of the state's potato crop has been harvested so far, but unseasonable heat in the last few weeks has limited growers to only digging during the early morning hours. That's because potatoes harvested in temperatures above 70 degrees have a much higher chance of rotting while in storage. Kevin Schleicher from Waisaki Family of Companies says workers on his farm start digging at 4 a.m. and have to stop by 11.
Potato harvest is a little bit like Goldilocks, where you can't be too hot, you can't be too cold, and it can't be too rainy.
Temperatures are expected to cool down later this week, and Schleicher says he's optimistic they'll finish harvest in the next week or so. The pressure's on to get potatoes in before the chance of frost this fall, which can destroy any tubers left in the field. Hope Kerman, Wisconsin Public Radio.
I did not know it had to be a certain temperature to harvest potatoes. I guess you learn something new every day. Hey, the Milwaukee Brewers opened the playoffs last night at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks. The crew ended up losing by a score of 6-3. The Brewers now 0-1 in the series. The two teams will play again tonight in Milwaukee with first pitch set for 6:08. Coming up, we'll learn more about the first tribal national park in the country, and it's located right here in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on. And in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. October is Arts and Humanities Month. In Wisconsin, the governor recently signed a proclamation recognizing how both have been fundamental to Wisconsin's story. In honor of this acknowledgement, here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about reimagining archaeological digs on tribal lands.
Frog Bay Tribal National Park sits on the shores of Lake Superior. It's on the land of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, also known as the Anishinaabe. Frog Bay is the first tribal national park in the country, and for the last several summers, it's been home to a collaborative archaeological project between tribal leaders and university archaeologists. The goal is not just to find new artifacts, but imagine a new way for everyone to work together. A new podcast from our partners at Wisconsin Humanities called Human Powered has the story. Here's host Jimmy Gutierrez.
For the last 3 years, the Red Cliff Tribal Historic Preservation Office has been collaborating with two archaeologists helping excavate sites on tribal lands. During these digs, students, researchers, and tribal community members work together to learn about the people who have lived on this land for millennia and to connect that knowledge with the people who still live here today, which for so long hasn't been the case of archaeological work.
Indian people has been studied to death. You know, study after study after study after study.
Marvin Defoe is the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for Red Cliff, otherwise known as the TIPO.
They say, well, this is how they used to be. That's what they used to do. So that word they disconnects everybody in our whole community. We're here today, we're alive today, we ain't going nowhere, we're alive today, but there's a story on how we came to be.
The TIPO office is in charge of a lot of things. Things like the annual powwow, the language school, and making sure that none of the sacred sites get disturbed. So sometimes Marvin gets calls from archaeologists. Archaeologists like Heather Walder. Heather works at UW La Crosse and the Chicago Field Museum.
I remember calling Marvin just cold to speak with the TIPO to talk about this project.
You know, when Heather gave me a call in Red Cliff, do you know of any place in Red Cliff that maybe we could kind of take a look at, whatever, and I started thinking. I said, yeah, we go out Frog Bay.
The dig started at Frog Bay Tribal National Park in the summer of 2018. Asking tribal members for input is crucial as the group makes sense of what they find in the ground. For example, take the bunches and bunches of cracked rocks that were being found all over the site. Marvin had an idea.
Heat them up, put them in a container. I call that a Shinabe microwave oven, you know.
Marvin's Anishinaabe microwave came from a story he heard from an Indigenous elder in Canada. That elder took his grandkids out for the weekend to share traditions. And one morning, they caught a fish and started a fire.
You know, so he took the fish, heated up them rocks, and had to drop, and he put that fish in there, and he put a little wild rice in there, and put them rocks in there, put the top on, wrapped it all up, and propped it in the bow of his canoe.
A few hours later, they had a delicious lunch cooked with hot rocks inside of a cedar log. Top Chef has nothing on this. Today, Marvin shared that meal with us. The same meal an elder shared with his grandkids just a few years ago. A meal that was shared with the people at Frog Bay who lived here 5,000 years ago.
We all have a job to do today. We all have a job to undo what happened to us as Indigenous people. If you teach a child to love the land, that child will protect it. And part of how you love the land is you gotta understand yourself and love yourself as a Native person. And it ain't just doing the archaeological thing, you live it. Zichigewin, you live it.
That story came to us from Human Powered, a new podcast from Love Wisconsin and Wisconsin Humanities. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Hey, I always tell you, hit that subscribe button. We'll show up right here in your feed. But it also helps if you just tell a friend about us. Nothing beats that word of mouth power. We really do appreciate it. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.